Welcome to the tailgate version of Nocturnal Journal, and in the studio, thank you guys so much for coming down. Dave Gaborik and Cindy Fosco Gaborik, old friends. You guys have been on the show before, and you're the owners of Let's Tailgate Inc., 1807 Central Street in Evanston, right by the football stadium, right?
That's correct.
How close are you to the football stadium?
One and a half blocks. Right next to the Metro tracks.
And the new basketball stadium, how close?
And the new Welsh Ryan Arena.
And so you're all walking distance from there.
Walking distance.
I've been there once, right?
Yes. You went to the Ohio State game.
That was your
last time we were on game day.
That was your busiest day
that
ever?
That was the busiest day ever that we had. Yep. And when you came in, I was just slammed.
And when you say busy, how many people? Tell the listeners what you get there. I mean, you got souvenirs. I mean, so how many? What's a busy day and what all do you stock?
Well, go ahead, Dave.
We're a licensed fan shop, so we carry Northwestern apparel. We have the sideline apparel that the coach wears. And that weekend was homecoming, so you get the alum back, and it's one of our bigger games. And so everybody was in a fever pitch. We were 4-0 that year. And it was game day was there, and it was a 6 o'clock game, I believe.
You're right, yeah.
And Ohio State was also undefeated, and we were both playing each other. Yeah. Busy.
Yeah, that's great. And I know you guys from your careers in baseball, but how did the store begin? And we'll get into your vending careers.
Well, it was probably, I started actually in 73. My mom knew a gentleman who sold souvenirs outside Dyke Stadium at the time, and he was with the Vendors Union. And I worked a couple games for him, and all I can remember was a lot of buttons and pins with ribbons and tam hats and palms. And then joined the vending union some years later and worked the ballparks, Cubs, Sox, Bears, Bulls, Hawks, concerts. And then the baseball strikes came maybe early, mid-90s. So looking for an additional source of revenue, we started going back to colleges and selling, you know, at Iowa, Northwestern, or Illinois.
You and Cindy.
Yeah,
yes.
Me and
you
Cindy.
You went together.
Yep. And it evolved into the Rose Bowl year, doing some of those sports shows, like the Sun-Times Sports Show, people signing, and said, hey, we'll give it a shot and try a store. It was a four-month lease, and we're there 22 years later.
We're still going strong.
What year did you open?
In 96.
You've been there that long?
Been there that long. And we were noticed by the university, because we were diehard fans. We were not only business owners, but we were actually fans. We attend the games. We root for the teams, and we're very blessed that we got affiliated with the school as the official merchandiser of Northwestern Athletics, and given the stadium concessions, and we do their online store, the e-commerce for the athletics.
So it keeps us very busy.
And this is this is a true passion, because you have your own RV.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay,
and we are going to be there the 24th before and after when we tailgate on Saturday, and we'll be in your store a little bit after the game, and then you're going to keep some of our books in stock there, just a few books.
Make some good Christmas.
But I have a little, very good. Good Christmas. I just have a little camper van, but what do you got?
Right now we have a 32-foot Class C Forest River Sunseeker.
Which we love, with a slide out. Nice and
two slide outs, a bedroom slide out and a living room slide out.
See, that's why you guys are such great guests, because there's so many common things we have. So, do you take that to sports events?
Sure. We went to the Music City Bowl in Nashville last year. It was fun. I thought I could de-winterize it, but it was so cold there. And they said, well, leave your water on, it'll trickle at night. And I'm like, well, I don't think this is going to work. It's like in the 20s. Sure enough, everybody's out there in the morning with blow torches defrosting our lines. And
we took it to the Chicago Bears game, and we did some tailgating there. Which was a lot of fun.
Wow. Now, when you went to Nashville, were you in a campground?
KOA. It was down the road from the Gaylord, which was the...
Yeah, I've been there. I've camped there.
The Gaylord
was... it's got the cock and bull at restaurant.
Next door, right.
I love saying that on the radio.
The fried catfish special.
Cock and bull. Yeah. I was there last Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
My brother lives in Nashville.
We each other. Yeah. So... yeah, we just
so I went over to the Cock and Bull.
Uber Lyft over to Gaylord at the team hotel, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, is that where they were staying? They were staying at the
Gaylord.
So,
Going to the Big Ten tournament, which we're real excited, the championship game, and we're either going to play Michigan or Ohio State.
So you'll be there?
Yes.
December 1st?
Yes.
Indianapolis. Now, are you
bringing our RV?
You'll probably see Adam Phillips there from WGN. He's our engineer. Mm-hmm. He'll be working the game.
Great.
Now there, will you drive down and drive back, or do you camp?
We're going to stay overnight. That's the plan. It's called Gate 10 Parking. It's literally across the street from the stadium, and we were thinking of a side trip beforehand. The Cats play
basketball.
IU in basketball earlier in the afternoon, but I think it's a little challenging to do two trips in one day, so we're just going to get the RV there. We've got my daughter coming with some of her friends, told a lot of our customers and friends to stop by. And
one big tailgate.
I bought two RV spaces, so one for the RV and one for our tailgating.
Wow. So I want to talk about both areas of interest for you. So you have the RV. So having doing that and having experience in that, what does that bring to the store? Tailgating. I mean, you know, what having a firsthand experience with it, what do you?
Well, absolutely. There's actually, we've driven the RV to Vegas. There's a trade show called the Tailgate Show, and there's so many cool, innovative tailgate products that come and go, like expandable couches and blow-up couches and flagpoles to go and RV accessories with grills and such. And we're not more in the grill, but some of the RV accessories like flags and things of that nature.
Yeah. So, and then you just have experience being on the road.
We have done a lot of miles in a row, probably close to 200,000 of my RVs. This is my third RV.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk about how the vending experience goes into your business. So don't go away, and we're going to talk more about Let's Tailgate on WGN.
Keep your two cents on the side of the fence. Girl, we ain't friends, we're just neighbors. Ain't nothing to see here. Go back to your trailer.
Welcome back to the tailgate version of Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and in the studio we have Dave Gaborik and Cindy Fosco Gaborik, President and Vice President of Let's Tailgate Incorporated, 1807 Central Street in Evanston. Saturday you're open 10:30 to 5:30.
Well, not on game day. We're open probably. We're open 8 till the last customer leaves.
Really?
My motto is we close but don't doze.
No, we'll be there more like 7 or 6.
You start that, but you guys are really serious. For Illinois Northwestern, you're going to be there that early?
We got to get the stadium ready. There's just a lot of things that get in order and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. People don't know what goes into the whole operation. But
So what time will you be there Saturday?
Saturday, I would say, since it is a 2:30 game, no later than 8.
Wow.
Closer to 7 a.m.
Wow.
Well, the parking lot opens 4 hours before the game, so that will put us 11:30. And you have a lot of parents in town. They're coming by to pick up the West Division Champs merchandise that we're selling, since Northwestern is the West Division Champs. And we have hats, T-shirts. So we've got people who've called, put stuff aside. They want to get it. They want to beat the crowds before they come in and the traffic on the street, because Central Street's just a two-lane street, and it's a little challenging. So
we have Illinois merchandise?
No.
Not too much.
We have a House Divide Illinois flag and hat, but no, not this time.
No. Okay.
I know you guys from the baseball stadiums. Talk just real briefly about each of your careers and where did you do both ballparks? Talk about your vending career.
Yes,
Cindy,
I started at Wrigley Field. Before I started as a vendor, I used to go to Cub games as a fan, and I used to hang out there all the time. This was in 1977 when I started following the Cubs, and I met a vendor who said, "You're always here. You should get a job here." And I did become a vendor, and I vended for over 32 years at Wrigley Field, at Comiskey Park, the old Chicago Stadium, and Soldier Field.
Well,
I just love sports. And the United Center, yes. But I love sports. And
I love telling the story. It's not the first time I've told it. You were in the bleachers selling beer with your Bill Buckner button.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of how I met you.
All-time favorite player.
Yeah, all-time still?
Yes, still is, yes.
And I know I've asked you this before, maybe, and when you've been on the show before. Were you one of the first female vendors?
Yes. Not the first. I think a lady named Melinda was the first, but I was one of the first.
Were you one of the first in the bleachers?
I think so.
Well, interesting, when Soldier Field, when they didn't sell actually beer there in the mid-70s and that, they were frowning on her to go work there because they didn't even want women to work at Soldier Field with the Bears.
I was definitely the first woman in Soldier Field.
First woman in Soldier Bendy. Field. And what did you sell in the bleachers? Was it beer?
Beer in 1984 at Wrigley when I turned 21. I couldn't sell beer before 21.
And what'd you sell at Soldier Field?
Soldier Field, hot dogs, pretzels, pop, peanuts.
And how did the fans respond to seeing a female working the stands?
Most of the fans are pretty nice. I did not have problems.
They always waited for her, and they always would tip her and pass her. Where's the beer girl? Send her.
Really? Yeah, that's how. Yeah. Did that work out for you okay like that?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Dave, same questions. How did you start?
Well, like I said, my mom knew a gentleman who had some concessions at the ballparks and kind of got involved that way and worked Sox Park and Wrigley Field. I was the only one on Coke in the 75 season and the bleachers at Cubs, which was quite fun that summer. I'd just work Cubs and then have 2 weeks off to go golfing or play around and when I was in high school. And so, you know, it's a fun, rewarding experience. It's hard work.
It is hard work.
Very
hard work. But it can be financially rewarding, and, you know, you get to see the games, which is great. And funny story, in the old stadium, our locker room was literally next door to the Bulls. And Michael Jordan would come out. It was before cell phones, and he'd ask to borrow a quarter for the cell phone. And 50 people would jump up to give him a quarter.
That's how long we go back.
Yeah. It's great. So the reason of these, I think, are also relevant points is, how does your background in vending in two ways influence Let's Tailgate? And I'm talking about business acumen. I mean, you guys, vendors are business people.
Yes.
And then second of all, in dealing with people. So can you take each one and talk about how that influences the work you do today?
Well, I used to work in souvenirs at Wrigley Field with a gentleman named Jim Bendis, and I helped him out for a long time. After I got done vending, I would go and help him on the souvenir stand. So that's kind of where my background is with the store merchandise. I do have background in that, and what would you say, Dave?
Well, you know, a lot of our business on game day is weather-related, but non-weather-related, it's relationships you build with your customers and people as a fan that you get to know them, and first-name basis with so many, and it's just fun. And going to Indy as a fan and inviting people to our tailgate, and over the years just knowing so many people, it's just amazing.
You have to love sports, too, be in the business we're in and follow the games. And
I mean, we're not only passionate about football or Northwestern basketball, but we also follow softball, women's lacrosse. We've been to all the championships but one. Six out of seven, yes. Taking the RV many a times. In fact, we drove to the
North, really?
Yeah, we drove all night. For the first one because we wanted to see the first championship. Went to Annapolis, went to the game and turned around and came back home.
Do you guys chronicle this stuff? I didn't know.
Just memory.
And we went to the College World Series when our softball team was in it, too.
Wow.
I did. Dave didn't go, but
didn't
that was fun. It's just fun when teams are successful and then you get to see them.
I take my RV and I call it a workvation. Every summer I've gone about 12 years in a row now to Boston and work one of the lacrosse coaches, Kelly Amante Hiller's camp and Milton Academy mainly. And it's a lot of fun and bringing the purple out and the girls are all excited. And then get to play around, go to Martha's Vineyard, see part of the country we never would have saw before.
Yeah, right. Do you have like old school? Do you have like a sister gene of Northwestern? Do you have like somebody who follows the team who's been around forever, like especially the really lean years of Northwestern?
There has been some. Can't really name. There's quite a few. I couldn't put it personally on one person, but
not on one person.
There was a guy, Dr. Silly, but I haven't seen him in a while. So,
how about famous people? Didn't Julia Louis Dreyfus?
Oh yeah, didn't she have a T-shirt.
Yeah.
She said it may be a little too big, and I told her, well, you could boil it, shrink it. And she kind of laughed. She said, boil it. So that was a Seinfeld moment. But, yeah, on the web, we've sold many of things. They've shipped out Geraldo Rivera and
Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah, well, their siblings go to Northwestern offspring. Yeah. So
Michael Wilbon,
we know very well, and Paul Apprentice. There's a name from the past. Cindy talked to her about her web order. Different famous alum in that regard.
So, yeah, a couple more things. Walk us through the inventory again and tell us maybe what the popular items are this fall for both football and basketball, and then lead into the website and how people can find these.
Well, this fall, the most popular right now is the Big Ten West Championship hat and T-shirt because we won it so early and decisively over Iowa, and we've had a couple of weeks here to sell.
Yeah,
and
that's perfect and timing.
Everybody
as
was
a
kind of
yeah,
we just become such a much better team than we were in September with the improvement. You know, Clayton Thorson, the quarterback's definitely more mobile, and Isaiah Bowser wasn't in earlier, and he's made such a big difference, and the difference in the way we played back in September to now, it shows their hard work that just is, you know, definitely coming to attrition. I think if we play Michigan now, it's going to be a different outcome, and we might surprise some people at this game coming up in December 1st.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you want to give me a prediction?
Well, if we play Michigan, Cats win 24-17. We play Ohio State.
It's going to be a high-scoring game if you play Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State, it's going to be 39-31.
Wildcats.
Boy. Full of optimism. Yep. So what's the website? How can people find you?
Well, it's nusports.com. That's Northwestern Athletic website.
And your brick and mortar is 1807 Central Street in Evanston. Yep. What do you do in the summer?
We work at the camps at Northwestern. We work lacrosse camp, football camp.
Fitz's camp. We saw with the
soccer
new facility.
Camps.
Yeah, we do Fitz's camp.
Field hockey camp.
Women's soccer. I know we're forgetting
we're
a few
like,
here.
We
There's
used
so
to
many.
Have
volleyball camps real big.
Don't.
And, the kids come from all over, and they're passionate and hooked up to take something back home and a memory of the camp and a T-shirt. And, you know, it's a grassroots of just getting the purple out there. And years ago, Fitz's camp, he has like 1,000 recruits come. And he has college coaches from like Ball State and other places. And the kids who are academically eligible, maybe Northwestern would buy something. But now with the new facility and just the spark of being, you know, a great program that we've excelled to become, they all want to buy Northwestern merchandise and excel to come here.
We have a new practice facility on the lakefront that is outstanding. Dave, you should go to see it on Saturday if you get a chance. We have a new basketball arena.
It's
so
state-of-the-art.
There's
so
a lot of good
excellent.
Things happening at Northwestern University.
Yeah. Boy, you guys are such great ambassadors for the school.
Well,
I didn't know about the lacrosse thing.
Yeah,
you're really knee-deep.
It's huge. Talk to Kelly. Yeah. Well, her brother was Tony Amante, the Blackhawks, if you recall.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of put her roots here. That she was wondering, she asked Tony about it, and he goes, well, I took my scooter, my motorcycle up the Northwestern game. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Yeah. Tony Amani's
Kelly's brother.
And Kelly is?
Kelly's the head coach.
Head coach, right.
Right.
Okay. So we'll be selling the camper book. You got a copy of the camper
book?
I
do, Dave. I didn't read the whole book, but I'm on the chapter of California in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
And it's very good book. So
well, thank
far.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I will read it all.
It's the type of book you can read in bits and pieces.
Oh,
it
right, right.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did you ever been to the RV Hall of Fame?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fun place.
Yeah, it is.
Indiana.
It is. You guys have been there, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, a couple times.
They have a jamboree in the summer or something.
Really?
Like they have I haven't been to that. But, yeah, I did some research there. There's a chapter in the book about or just a little sidebar chapter of weird RV concepts, and some architect in Wisconsin
tried to do a triple decker
Marina City.
But. Well, one of the great RV parks we've been to in the last couple of years is Liberty Harbor. I don't know if you've ever been. It's really a boatyard. You get hooked up for just water and electric, but you're literally across from the Statue of Liberty.
It's beautiful.
Oh,
and you get
to
take
so
a boat ferry picks you up, and it takes you to anywhere in Manhattan.
I got to write that down.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What's it called? Liberty Harbor?
Liberty Harbor RV Park.
Really?
Yeah, I may not be around, we're told, for a few more because the land's getting so valuable. They may put a high-rise over there. But we went there this summer, and then we boat over to, like, the World Trade Center. And we she usually flies out, and then I drive the RV and maybe do a little golf and somewhere on the way. And then we meet, like, Lower Manhattan. We met at Wall Street, and we walked all the way from Wall Street to Central Park.
You know what scares me? Happens. You've got an RV. I've got – well, mine's 30 feet. But driving those things around Manhattan, how far into Manhattan do you have to go?
We don't have to go in Manhattan. It's in Jersey City.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't have to go over.
Yeah.
But it was a little white hair of some construction just the last couple miles when you get past, I think it's Newark, and then you get in Jersey City. It's a little white-knuckle drive, but not bad.
What a great tip. The biggest discovery we had in the book was, people still can't believe this, is there's a French Quarter RV park where you can – you know, you're like walking distance from Bourbon Street.
Really?
And that's actually real big for all the Bulls games they have at the Dome there and stuff. And,
we've stayed at the KOA in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Yeah, it was fun.
I want to take it down to Key West maybe next winter, and then I'll hit all four points. I went northwest. I went to Maine. You know,
yeah,
I haven't gone that far south.
We've been to Key West with our RV. There used to be an RV park in downtown Key West, but I believe that might be closed now. So.
Yeah, Joe Madden's in the book, and he said one of his dreams was – maybe he's doing it now because I interviewed him after the 2016 season, and he just wanted to drop out, and there was a little campground in Key West that he really loved and just unplug and spend some time there.
Well, when I go on my work vacation with my RV, it's like the RV's 32 feet, and then the trailer that I tow is about 14. So I'm getting like 46 feet. I'm almost like a semi. So you got to really start looking at what kind of gas stations you can go to. They got to be really parallel pumps. I mean, you got to look ahead when you're traveling to get back on. Am I going to go to the right for a clover leaf, or is it left to get back on the interstate? So if you're waiting at a prior light, you have a pair of binoculars ahead of time to look and see, okay, I can go this way.
That's kind of how I got into this, is when I was at the Sun-Times, we rented these big RVs for trips. I went to Graceland, and when the Bears were last in the Super Bowl, Angie and I went to Miami. And what you're saying is, then Angie had a family thing. He had to get back to Chicago, so I had to drive this big monster RV all the way home. And getting gas is really hard. I had to have somebody like help me, get into the island.
And then you want to
if you're by
the
yourself,
pumps, right? Yeah. You don't want to clip the pumps and that. And like you say, reading your book, if you get a campground late at night, sometimes the maps aren't as great. You're unfamiliar with it, and you could go down a wrong lane, and to back up, you're like, whoa. So I added a tow bar with my RV. Now we have a Jeep, and I took the Jeep out to Vegas this year, and that's one thing you want to be careful, so you don't have to – you have to take disconnect it. You can't back up with the tow bar. But we did have to do that. Actually, we went from our New York summer trip to Nantucket, and we came back, and we went to Bethel Woods – Woodstock.
That was
an RV park up there. That was awesome.
And we got in there late at night, and that was hard because we could not see our spot.
Yeah,
and
that's what happened to me in San Bernardino. I went to a minor league baseball game. I got there at midnight, and I first little scratch I had in my van was trying to park in midnight.
The Bluebird got its
And same thing. I was by myself, and nobody direct me and stuff.
And you get tired from driving all day.
You do.
Well, that's the thing about an RV. You could just pull over and go in a rest area, and just if it's not fully crowded with trucks. But she's like – the truckers, their generators running all night. The diesel engines keep her awake. Doesn't bother me as much. But the Ohio Turnpike's pretty cool. They have a lot of RV pullover rest areas that, you pay for the night like $16, and you get like electricity, and you can do water later.
Full hookup.
Yeah. Do you do the Walmart thing?
We've done that a little bit here and there,
Saves money.
Saves money, and it's secure. They travel. But we've been from Key West to Maine and Palm Springs in California, Highway 1's knuckle driving, RV. We stayed actually last January. We went to Vegas. We went to Malibu. And I guess where the fires are now.
Very
it's across
sad,
from Dan Blocker Beach. If you know Dan Blocker, he was Hoss on
Bonanza,
correct. And there's an RV park, and you're on the cliffs there, and you get the sunrise and sunset.
Right on the ocean.
And then your RV's just sticking over the edge, and you're like, oh my gosh, am I going to go over? And
Dan Blocker Beach.
Dan Blocker Beach. You know of it?
No, I guess another one I got.
I think it was Michael Landon and the story, and Lauren Green. I was going to say Ben Cartwright. Anyways, they own this land. They donated to Malibu, and when he passed, they put it in Dan Blocker's name.
You guys should do the book. I mean, you get University of Northwestern Press to publish it and stuff. I mean, what a great story.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's go over all the details. Saturday, November 24th, what are we doing? We're going to tailgate with some fans first. And you're going to be at the store. Do you walk into the game at all, or are you at the store?
Well, we're at the stadium. I have, like, 7 points of sale at the stadium.
Oh, you do? So you
right, so I've got, like, five concession trailers and two stands inside. So I'm managing them, going around, checking stock and, you know, that type of thing. And
so John Saul and I, my photographer, will be tailgating. What lot?
East lot.
East lot. We'll
that's right by Gate J.
Yeah,
roughly.
What gate is it?
Gate J.
I don't even know where we're going.
Well, Gate J. I have a trailer out there.
Okay,
it's my new Willie Collar hauler trailer. And you'll be by there, I would assume.
Okay, so we'll be there, and then we'll probably go in and watch some of the game, at least till halftime. It'll be a blowout by halftime.
Yes. Right.
And then we'll come back and sign some books for like an hour over at
1807. Yeah, we'll set up a table and
let's tailgate, Inc.
Right, great Christmas presents.
Great Christmas presents.
For the future.
I'm so bad at promoting the book, so thanks for helping me out.
Absolutely. I've got a few people in mind to pick out a book for.
Well, thanks so much for coming down. And thanks, Cindy and Dave. It's
thank
always
you,
good to
Dave.
See you. You got great
Our
stories.
Pleasure. Thank you. Go Cats.
Go
okay,
Cats.
Thank you. Thanks for listening on WGN's Tailgate Edition of Nocturnal Journal.